I wanted to read this paper out loud because, well, first of all, it's a long paper and it would be boring to read, and also because it might get the way that I was trying to convey it across better. So, here it goes. My first real event after moving to New York was going to the Chinese New Year's Festival with Katie. More exactly, it would be the first time I'd be going to a place with someone. I had been in New York for nearly 2 weeks, but the only things I had mustered the energy to do were buy items for my apartment and eat. She'd never celebrated Lunar New Year, and I was keen on getting some delicious pastries that proliferate Chinatown. I thought the event would be entertaining, sure, but more so, I felt like if I didn't leave the apartment soon, I would be kicked out of New York for depressing everyone with my moping about. Earlier that week, Katie had not so subtly hinted that with all my free time, I could at the very least keep my overflowing suitcases tidier. I had hoped that moving would magically solve all my problems and wasn't expecting the pathetic bout of ennui, police cars, that immobilized me instead. They weren't noteworthy problems either. I was exhausted from fighting myself and overthinking interactions. I was disappointed that even though my environment had changed, I was still a tightly wound warrior. I believe that with all the extroverted people in the city, it would be easier for me to slide into a new role as a confident city dweller. After getting scolded by the cashier the first time I went to the grocery store, I saw this was not the case. Back in Denver, I always forced myself to participate in things outside my comfort zone because I thought, still think, I could train myself to be more outgoing. For instance, my office had been one of those hip co-working spaces whose open floor plan and modern industrial design made it the perfect location for events, which it hosted almost weekly. I always convinced myself to go, to meet people, to have fun, but whenever I walked through the mingling groups, I seized up with anxiety. Instead of starting up conversation with someone new, I scurried with fake purpose so people wouldn't think I was alone, just between places I needed to be. Or I'd stand by the wall mentally berating myself until I was shamed into trying again. At one particular event, the hostess saw me and asked with concern, "Why are you sitting alone in the dark?" To me, I was taking a peaceful break from the pressure of socializing, but she made me aware of how I really looked. I was sitting on the only remaining furniture in the large cafe area, lit only by two openings on the far wall where my room adjoined the event's space. To her, I was depressing. The inevitability of repeating this pattern in the new city filled me with dread. But after dragging my feet for 2 weeks, it was time to go back out there. As Katie and I emerged from the subway, we could feel the brisk February air prickling our cheeks. Canal Street is flooded with even more people than usual, and to our amusement, a good number of visitors don't know why the streets are closed, and minor spats are breaking out. Seeing all the street vendors that line the road, I am grabbed by the impulse to buy a hat. Barely making our way through the wall of people, we stop at an open shop and I spy a pile of wool berets. I reach for a dark gray one to try on. Like a magnet, the store owner is at my side, telling me how great I look and handing me a mirror. Ignoring him, I turn to Katie. "How does it look?" "You look adorable. I really like it," she says enthusiastically. Her master's degree in classical acting is really in full form today. I turn back to the mirror and see my small round face drowning in the hat. I'm not sure whether to wear it up front or in the back or off to the side to fluff it up or pat it down. I'm mildly aware that it itches and feels like it's falling off. This is why I never wear hats. They never fit and they always mysteriously turn my head into a vividly obtrusive shape. I can count the number of times I've worn a hat voluntarily on one hand. Still, I think, turning my head to the left and the right in the mirror, it wasn't terrible. I decided to get it. If nothing else, it was a way to stay warm while we were out all day, and I could abandon it later if I wanted. The parade was about to start, and we still needed to find a good spot, so we rejoined the irregular rows and began shuffling down the street. The whole time we were weaving our way through the crowd, I'm hyper aware of this thing on my head. I feel as if I'm wearing a giant arrow pointing down at me, inviting people to evaluate me. Hundreds of people are seeing me for the first and probably the only time in their life, and they're seeing me with a hat on my head. At first, I wonder if they know, as I know, how bad I look in this hat. But then I chide myself for being silly. I remind myself that I'll be an unremarkable background figure in their memory, and they probably only see me as an indistinct object in their way. There are just too many people here for them to notice one small hat wearer. Hat wearer. They see me as a hat wearer. They have no idea that I'm not a hat wearer. What a huge misrepresentation this is of me as a person. I feel this growing sense of liberation that I'm tricking so many people. They don't know how self-conscious I am. They don't have a clue. They are so wrong about me, and it's exhilarating. I feel like the universe has like split into two parallel dimensions, and I'm transformed into this alter ego. I just think if you had to ask these people about me later, if you forced them to describe me for maybe some historical account of the day, I imagine their testimony would go something like this. Listen, all I know about her is that she loves wearing hats. How would they know otherwise? In fact, no one in New York knows. No one knows about my faults, my worries, or my failures unless I tell them. I could be anyone I wanted for these people, and in their eyes, I am. This is a novel thought that keeps turning over in my head. Moving hadn't changed me, not exactly. But no one here knew that I was someone who wanted changing. I can be that confident person who's good with conversations, at ease in all situations, and lives in the moment. Well, or at least I could act like one. The idea of a clean slate was starting to fall into place. I'm feeling a bit more lighthearted as we claim an area roughly the width of an old mop head and that we have to fight to maintain. I end up climbing on top of a metal road barrier, leaning against a building. It allows me to both see over the crowd and shield me from it. From my elevated perch, with the music and confetti swirling around, I feel like the crowned queen of the celebration, and everyone else is watching the show I've invited them to. I notice only one other person rivaling for my excellent view. About 50 feet away, a little girl, about 3 or 4, is sitting on her father's shoulders. What really catches my eye about her is this delightful fleece hat she's wearing. It looks homemade. It's this red thing that comes down over her ears and ties under her chin, all hemmed in blue. The top splits off into two cockeyed bunny ears with matching blue pom-poms on either side. Despite this gesture's hat, she looks so serene. I can see her father gesturing at the parade, looking up to check on her. Sometimes she'll graze at the commotion of the parade, but sometimes not. Maybe it's the amount of winter clothing she's wearing that's somehow suppressing her emotions as well as her movement, but her calm demeanor is unlike most toddlers I see at a loud event. Nothing bothers her. She has no control of what she is wearing or where she ends up in a given day, but she is content. She is perfect. I am nowhere near the peaceful bliss I see in this young bodhisattva, but I tip my hat to her, acknowledging her wise example before finally turning my attention to the festivities, where it should have been all along.